Okay, so the next verse, Krishna, the Bhagwan tells us, what is the benefit? He said, okay, you're saying titikshasva, bear it cheerfully, bear it finally. But we are all, what do you call it, result oriented. Mujhe kya milega? What is in it for me? How will I benefit? You know, you say don't complain, but am I going to get anything out of it, or am I just going to suffer? Should I not complain when things are going wrong? Should I not be happy? Yes, but as we said, do not be over elated and over depressed. So one who does not get bothered by worldly situations, what happens to him? So that's the next verse, verse number 15. Yam hi na vyathayantyete. Purusham purusharshabha. Samadukha sukham dhiram. Somritatvaya kalpate. Yam means to whom, to that individual. He means indeed. Na vyathi yanti ete. Ete means these. So when he refers to these, he's talking about the previous verse. These situations, joy and sorrow, heat and cold, success and failure, health and ill health. So these situations, yam, to whom, na vyathi vyathyanti, they do not disturb such an individual. Vyathyanti means, vyathaya means to get too much sorrow, vyatha is used in Hindi also, too much sorrow. So he says, sorrows will come, but do not let them get you down. So such a yam purusham, such an individual, here Arjuna, he calls him as Purusha Rishabha, Purushar Shabha. So the bull among men. So he says, he's calling him a bull. Is that a compliment? Well, we'll see that. She says, O bull among men, O Arjuna, one who is not disturbed by these stressful situations, such an individual, who is he? Sama dukha sukham. So in sorrow and joy, sama, he's balanced. And even Krishna, another place in the Gita, he says, samatvam yoga mucchyate. Equanimity in life is true way to live. The true way to live in life is to be equanimous, to be balanced, sama. Sama means, yes, there will be joys and sorrows, but I remain firm, I remain fine. And that's dhira. In the previous verse, we said it means the wise person. Here, dhira means one who is firm, dhairya, one who has firmness. So the same word in Sanskrit, depending on the context, can have different meanings. So one who is the same in joy and sorrow, who is firm, saha, that person, amritatvaya kalpate. Amritatva means immortality. Kalpate means he becomes worthy of immortality, becomes deserving of immortality. He gets immortality. So this verse also needs some discussion. So the first question is, why does he call him a bull? You know, somebody calls you a bull, you would get insulted. Are you calling me an animal? But here Arjuna, he's calling him a bull among men. Now, why is he using the word bull? Bull has many reasons why he uses the word bull. Bull in the olden days, see, when India was an agricultural, predominantly agricultural economy, in those days, there was not much industry except some, even cloth was done by weaving. There were not many factories, and the people, the iron smith would make in his small shop all the metals, the plates and glass, and the glass would be made in a small shop, and the cloth would be woven in a small shop. But India was predominantly an agricultural economy, and in agriculture, those days they didn't have tractors. What was needed was bull. Because the bull that would pull your tractor, so to plow the land, you needed bull. The bull would pull your cart, bullock cart, to carry whatever you have produced, grown, to carry it to the market. So the bull was needed for everything, and bull was very important in livelihood. Of course, then the bull also, you know, will give you another bull, you know, will give you a calf, and then that will become a bull. So bull was necessary. So to call somebody a bull was a great honor. Secondly, the word bull also means dharma, because bull is the vahana of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva rides on the bull. That means the Lord rides on dharma. Dharma means righteousness. So when you are calling somebody a bull, that means you are a righteous person, you are a good person, because dharma, because you ride on dharma, you ride on right behavior, right attitude. In fact, in Bhagavad, I was reading, there's a very beautiful story of a conversation between Dharma, who comes in the form of a bull, and Mother Earth, who is in the form of a cow. And Mother Earth is crying because, you know, now Krishna has gone, and now the world is going to be filled with sorrow. She could predict there's going to be so much corruption and so much violence and so many wrong things happening, and so many conflicts and so many problems and natural disasters, and all will happen. So what will happen to the earth? So there is a beautiful conversation where Dharma, the bull, consoles her and, you know, teaches her what is right and how the Lord will appear again. So one should not get discouraged. And the Lord appears again and again at different times. That's what Krishna says. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. Whenever dharma is on the decline, and abhyuthanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. So I will appear again and again. And the Lord appears in various forms. He appears as Buddha. He appears as Jesus. He appeared as Krishna. Appeared as Ram. Appeared as Muhammad. Appeared as Guru Nanak. So the Lord appears again and again to re-establish this knowledge. So when he's calling him a bull, what he means is that you are the best, you are the foremost, and you are the embodiment of dharma. And Arjuna was, because he lived his life very righteously, always did the right thing, never lied, never cheated, never hurt anybody. Very, very evolved individual he was. So that's how what Lord is recognizing. And when you give somebody a title, like you are the bull among men, then he says, if you are the bull among men, why are you acting like a, you know, like a foolish person sitting on the side and crying? It's like when you give a title, then the person has to keep up. Like your child, if he's afraid to go in the dark, you know, you say, oh, go there and bring something. No, I'm afraid to go in the dark. You tell him, you know what? You are such a brave boy. You know, you are the best. You are a big boy. You're not a child. And you are so brave, and you give him all the title, big boy, brave and all, then I am brave. So the mother also knows how to get the child to do things, you know, by giving him a title. You know, you are the best, or you are like Superman, or you call him Batman. Batman, Superman, he's not afraid of anything. And you are afraid of the dark, go and bring it. So same way, he's giving the title to Arjuna. Then he says that problems are everywhere. We already talked about it before. But if you say, if you live in the States, if you live in the East Coast, you know, unfortunately we saw all the hurricanes. If you live in the Midwest, tornadoes, you know, they come and take away your house, destroy. If you live in the West, earthquakes, you know, we have gone through earthquakes. They're saying we don't know when the next big one will strike, and that they're expecting a huge one. And how much damage it will cost, cause you don't know. If you live in the North, there is snow and blizzard and bad driving. So the problems are everywhere. So then he says, so does that mean I should become like a stone, you know, not affected? Like somebody comes, I'm getting married, remain like a stone. My child was born, remain like a stone. Somebody crying, my mother died, remain like a stone. No, it does not mean that a person, a wise person, is like a stone. That's the idea we get. That he walks around like a stone and unaffected. No, that's not it. A wise person with himself or herself is equanimous. Yes, if I have problems, they will come. If I have joys, they will come. But for another's sorrow, he or she is very compassionate. In another's, but compassionate not to that extent, like somebody had a death in the family, you go console them, you relieve them. But not that you go and you start crying with them, and you start crying more than that person who is crying, and you make double their sorrow. That's not compassion. Compassion is you share in their sorrow, but yourself remain balanced and be a source of strength for that individual. Not that you start crying more than, or a person who is happy don't become over-related. So there is a very beautiful book in the office, Jeevan Muktanand Lahiri, and the first verse I have said before also, but it's very beautiful. He says, Pure Pauran Pashyan Nar Yuvati Nama Kriti Mayan Suveshan Swarna Lankar Kalitansh Chitra Sadrishan Swayam Sakshi Drishtet Apichakalayan Dai Saharaman Munir Na Vyamoham Bhajati Guru Diksha Shata Samaha. So he says, a muni, a wise person, does not get deluded. Why? Because his ignorance has been removed by knowledge from his guru, his or her. And so all situations, if somebody is happy and he's walking through the town and people are happy and there is a festival going on and people are celebrating and there's the fair going on and they say, come on, let's go for rides. He goes, he enjoys. Yes, it's fun. Does not get over-related, but people are having fun. Let me have fun. And he has fun and he has a good time. And the second day, he is now walking between two villages and it gets nighttime and he has no place to sleep. So along the river bank, there is stones and he sleeps on stones all alone. He's equally happy. It's not that he's happy with people and then crying when he's all alone and scared and miserable. And then the third day, a king invites him. You know, he's a saint. And so he gets invited to a king's palace. And the king gives him great food and sleeps on a bed of silk and satin. It doesn't get over-related. One day, he's sleeping on stones without any dinner. And second day, the king is giving him an 18-course meal and sleeping. He's the same. Munirna Vyamoham Bhajati Guru Diksha Kshata Tamaha. His ignorance has been removed by knowledge. And so that's what the Bhagavad Gita says, that when you have this knowledge, you will remain the same. Einstein was asked, how did he discover the law of relativity? So he said, I went against what everybody else believes. See, everybody else believed in such a way that time is such and is absolute and space is absolute. He said, I did not accept what everybody believes and I came up with my own theory. So the point is that the rest of the world may go around crying and laughing and all, but we have to be like Einstein. Don't have to just go with the flow, but think independently that what is the right situation. So people who just live in situations are called paristhitivad. Paristhitivad means situations. So happy situation, they start laughing. Sad situation, they become sad. They say, do not be a paristhitivad, but be a wise person and do not let situations get you. So he says, what will be the benefit? Sama dukha sukham dhiram saha amrit tattvaya kalpate. Amrit tattvam kalpate means he becomes ready for that. Amrit tattvam is immortality. Now, what is mortality? Mortality is death, right? So that everybody is afraid of. You know, there's two things we are afraid of, death and taxes. You know, that comes to everybody. So death, we are all afraid. You know, I'm worried, when am I going to die? How is my death going to be? Will I suffer? Will I be unhappy? He said, death is inevitable, but you are actually immortal. And he'll talk more in detail in the next few verses about immortality. But the soul, the consciousness, which we have heard in the previous verses, was never born and will never die. So if you think you are this body, yes, you will be sorrowful. But if you think you are the consciousness, the Brahman, the Atman, the eternal, then you will be never born, you will be never dead. So deathlessness does not mean living in this body forever. I have talked about that before. Living in the body forever is misery. If you're 30, 40 is good, 50 is okay, 60 is getting bad, 70 is worse, 80 is horrible, 90 is misery. After that, it's just sorrow. So you do not want to live in this body forever. Realize that you are immortal. You are not this body. And that is the... So how will I become deathless? If I am birthless, if you're looking for immortality, I should never die. You remember, I was never born. I was never born. I shall never die. That's what he says in the 12th chapter, Natvevaham Jatu Nasam, that you and I were always there as the soul, as the eternal spirit, We always were there. We were there even thousands of years ago. We are here now, even thousands of years from now. Even when the earth perishes, I will survive. That I have to relate with that. This body, see, we think of birth as when I appeared from my mother's womb. That is the birth of this body, and the body is bound to perish. One day it's from womb to tomb. One day I'm in the mother's womb, then I'm under the ground or, you know, being burned. So the man's journey, if you think it is just from womb to tomb, yes, there will be sorrow. But if you think I am that immortal self, then there is no sorrow. So how do you say I'm deathless? First of all, you say I'm birthless. I was never born. In fact, we had one teacher, he was very funny. When anybody's birthday came, he would, you know, he would say, well, where's my sweets? He was a big, tall guy, you know. So people will love to take sweets to him because, sir, it's my birthday. So he'll say, happy birthday, and all he will sing. So then they will ask him, sir, when is your birthday? Because they wanted him to bring sweets. He said, I was never born. But he used to say jokingly, I was never born, I was found. That's what he used to say. He said, I don't know, man. So he doesn't have to give sweets back. So maybe he had understood that he was that Atman. I don't know. I was a young boy at that time. Maybe he was that evolved. He said, I was never born. So I was never born means I am birthless. So how do we do that? So Swami Chinmayanandaji in his commentary, he says that a person who is identified with the body, when issue of mind comes, the body discomfort is given up, like a mother, she loves her child. Now, they're very hungry and there's very small amount of food and there's only a little bit of bread or small piece. What will she do? Give it to the child and herself go hungry. Why? Because I love the child. So for my emotional satisfaction, she will give up the physical comforts. She will undergo physical sorrow for the mental or intellectually. Somebody is for my nation, I'm working for the nation, and he has to fight against, say, the people who have ruled. So what he will do, he will go into the forest, give up his family and fight guerrilla warfare. To free my country, I have to do that. And he'll give up his family, he'll give up his even his physical comforts for a higher goal. Or a scientist who is working in the laboratory to find something new. Sometimes for days they don't come home, you know, they hardly even eat. Why? Because I have to discover or I have to create this thing. So the highest is the spirit. So once you identify with the mind, you give up the physical comforts. Once you identify with the intellect, with concepts, you give up physical and mental. But once you identify with the consciousness, then physical and mental discomforts do not affect you. But then people misunderstand, you know, that I am not this body. I mean, I am not this body is okay to understand, but that does not mean you should torture this body. And there's a story that, there's a true thing that happened. So there was this young man, young means he probably was in his 30s, yeah, 30 or around 40, and he met Swami Chinmayananda for the first time. And he was so impressed. Oh, Guruji, Gurudev, you're such a good teacher. And he had a business. So he actually, wherever Swami Chinmayananda would go in town, in the country, he would go. If he was in New York, LA, he would go to LA, then Phoenix, then Chicago, then Houston, then New York and New Jersey. And he had left his business and left his work. And he was just running after Gurudev. So Gurudev understood that his attraction is just an infatuation. It's not, one is out of true understanding or vairagya, but he was just infatuated. So he told him, look, you don't need to come everywhere I am. Stay where you are. Study. We have Acharya, Swamiji's in every center. Learn. And whenever you can attend, attend, but don't chase after me. So, but he had only studied for a year or so. So he had this idea, I am not this body. And so we met him at some camp, and Swami Tejomayananda ji, who was Acharya, who was the worldwide head, but that time he was Acharya of San Jose. So he came to Bakersfield. So he said, oh, I want to listen to him. Can I come and stay at your house? We said, yeah, sure. You know, I mean, he's a Chinmaya devotee. Let him come. So he came, spent the night, and he was listened to the lectures. In the morning, I woke up. I usually wake up a little early. It was winter time, around 5, 5:30. I saw him sitting in the backyard, under the patio, just wearing shorts and nothing on top. It was bitterly cold. December, it was like 30 degrees, you know. I said, what are you doing here so early in the morning? He said, I took a bath in the pool. I said, what? In the freezing temperature, you went in the pool? Yeah. He said, I am not this body. That's a foolish thing to say, I am not this body. Does not mean you torture the body. See, the people, when they have don't have the right understanding. So that's why Krishna says, do not torture me. I am living in you. Do not torture me. Do not, you know, people walk on hot coals, or people sleep on nails, or people fast excessively and punish their body. Krishna says, I am in you. You need to feed me. You need to take care of your body, because your body is the only instrument that will take you to the highest. So the body is not to be punished, not to be tortured. Again, we're not saying overindulge and, you know, overeat and over, you know. No, take care of the body, keep it healthy, eat healthy, and exercise and do all the things. Why? So that I may do God's work and I may realize the truth. So I am not the body is not saying that do not take care of this body, but nourish the body, take care of it, eat healthy, and use the body for service and use the body for highest knowledge. And if you are sick yourself, if you are weak, you can't move around, then you can't. So that is the idea. So the word immortality, he will talk in more detail in the next few verses. I won't go into it because the next few verses are all that. And actually the 16th verse that we'll do next week is probably the most powerful verse in the, not only the second chapter, but in the entire Bhagavad Gita, there are very few verses that are that powerful. Na sato vidyate bhavah, na bhavo vidyate satah, ubayoropi drishtontah, anayos tatvadarshibihi. So please read this verse before you come. It's a little difficult verse to understand, need some explanation. We might spend a whole hour or maybe just do two verses. So today we mostly talked about how to deal with problems in life which we all face. We have a couple of minutes. Any questions? Any comments?
I have a question. We have some Swamijis and some Acharya. So is it like, are they designated to the certain, what is the difference?
No, Acharya means one who teaches. But Swami, and then there is Brahmachari, like Chaitanya, like Prabodh Chaitanya. So when they graduate from Mumbai, where they are wearing white clothes from that school, then for a few years they work as Brahmachari, where they wear yellow clothes and they dedicate their life to serving, to working for the mission, teaching, learning. And then once they have done that, after about 5 to 7 years, from Brahmachari they are made into Swami. So that's a gradation. So when they are wearing orange, that means they have totally given up the world. Orange means is the sign of fire, that all their vasanas and attachments are burnt. So from white they go to yellow, then they go to orange. Acharya means one who teaches. Acharati iti acharya. Acharati acharayati. Acharati means one who practices himself, and acharayati makes others practice. So one who studies this knowledge, practices himself, and then makes other practice is called acharya. Acharya means is a teacher. One who lives the life himself or herself and makes you live also.
So what's the scale again? You start out as
with the white. White, they are students.
Which is?
When they are in Mumbai, when they are in Bombay doing the course for 2 years, they are just students. You know, they are students. And then from that, they go to Brahmacharis, where they wear yellow and they have given up the world. And they live a life of celibacy and serving the mission and teaching and learning. And once they have done that for a certain number of years, then the head of the mission decides that he is ready to become Swami. So from white you go to yellow, then to orange, and then you stay there.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma kaschid dukkha bhag bhavet, Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Guru Bhyo Namah Hari Om.